Thanks, Dave.
Come here. So during your notices, Tess was like, why are they talking about us? Like, it's just what they do. And then she said, is it because I'm lovely? And I think it is, isn't it? Mwah. So this is Tess. Have you got anything to say? What would you like to say?
I'm Tess, and I'm very lovely.
Clara, my beautiful, precious little introvert, have you got anything to say?
Hello.
She's eating a coffee sweet. Marla, sorry. So this is my family. Laura's going to say something.
Hello, I'm Laura. I'm also lovely. it's really lovely to be with you again. And this is Clara and Tess and Tony. And we, we're in Brazil. You're going to hear more about us in a minute. But later on, we're also going to be by our stand. Please come and talk to us, say hello, eat the coffee sweets. And just come and chat. And if you would like to know anything about us and you've got to shoot off, just write your name on, there's a piece of paper. If you've got to shoot off and you don't know anything about us and you want to know about us, write your name and your address on the piece of paper and we'll get back to you. I'm going to take the kids out now, but it's really lovely to be here. Thank you.
Say bye.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.
Yay!
Yay. Good girl. Love you. So it's nice to be back. Dave talking about restoring order. I hear all sorts of things about heckling, and obviously you wouldn't heckle a visiting speaker, would you? Awesome. This is very definitely a big part of our family, and we're very, very happy to be back. For those of you who don't know, we work in Brazil with Street Kids, which is fun sometimes and horrible other times. But yeah, I'm going to show a video. Let's see if my clicker works. It does. Picture of me. Hi, my name's Tony. This is Clara and Tess.
And I'm Laura. September 2017 marks 7 years of us being in full-time missions in Latin America and working with children living on the streets and in other vulnerable situations. For 6 years, we have worked here in Brazil, and the last two, we've been working part of a team who have set up a new children's home here in Recife in the northeast of Brazil. The home accepts both boys and girls from newborn all the way up to 17 years old. And they've been referred to us by the social services because of abuse or neglect within their families. Many of the children come to us with behavioural issues or physical problems and attachment disorders due to the traumas they have been suffering. Our team works closely with the families of the children, and they try and give them the help they need to get their situations acceptable for the children to return back to them. Tony is one of the directors of the charity. He helps to oversee the staff and make decisions about how the charity functions. His day-to-day role includes driving the kids to school and being a liaison between the school and the home. He's also really passionate about engaging with the kids through practical activities. He's currently growing fruit and veg as a way to give confidence and teach valuable life lessons and to promote mental and physical well-being.
Laura looks after our girls, Tess and Clara, and sometimes the smaller children from the home. When we had two newborns at the same time, she helped with night shifts up in the girls' house, doing some feeds and letting the mum in the house sleep through the night. She's in charge of the birthdays in the house and makes sure each kid feels extra special for at least one day of the year. Laura's on the street team. She visits some of the hundreds of adults and children living on the streets in Recife. The team encourage people to seek a better life for themselves and help find an agency that can support them. The team prays for them and shows them that someone is listening and somebody does care.
The last 2 years have been a roller coaster. emotionally and physically. One day we can be restraining a violent teen from tearing up the house, and the next day we can be worshipping alongside them. One day you can be up in the middle of the night feeding a newborn, and the next saying goodbye to a child who has found their forever family.
The home has helped over 20 kids in the last 18 months. Some have been adopted into new families, others have been placed with extended family members, and some have gone back to their original families. It was a real joy to go and visit one of the families the other day, and as I arrived, I saw the mother hanging up the clothes. She was really excited, told me that they had had water, and that she'd washed all the clothes, and she was proud that she was looking after her kids. And that was such a difference from when I first met her, and she couldn't even sit up on her bed because she was so drunk. And it's a real privilege to be involved in that kind of transformation.
We'd like to say a massive thank you to all of you who have been on this journey with us. Your love and your support and your encouragement have really made a difference to us and to the children that we serve here in Brazil. You are part of their story. You are part of their restoration. So thank you.
If anyone is interested in how you can be involved in making a difference, whether through giving monthly or one-off, whether through praying or through volunteering, please get in contact. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Has anyone ever seen Rip Off Britain? My friend, who does all the video editing for Rip Off Britain, he makes videos for us, which is awesome, isn't it? Because I couldn't do it that good at all. So that video kind of explains the structure of what we do. But I want to just share a little bit about the real fruit of what we do. So four kids that we've received, a girl called Hayani, who's the daughter of the ex-alcoholic mum, and four boys, Diogo, Keberson, and Wellington, they could not read when they arrived. They did not know their numbers up to 10 when they arrived. And they're like 10, 11, 12, 13 kind of age group. And you know, it's a real surprise. They don't enjoy school. And they don't really behave very well at school, except for Hayani. Now, she went to school one day the year before we got her. Amazingly, she passed all of her classes. I don't think she actually attended some of her classes. But yeah, so they can read, and they're not living with us. We still work with the families for 6 months after they leave us. They're all going to school, and amazingly, they're all enjoying it a little bit more, which that has a huge transformation of their lives. You know, if they can succeed at school. I mean, there's some very strict rules about certain jobs that you're allowed to do only if you've finished different levels of education. Like, for example, our social mums that we employ, they need to have finished the second level of education to do the job. It's very quite rigid, the system out there. So if they can finish education, it just opens doors. So they're not on minimum salary, which isn't really enough to live on. So that's amazing. Yeah, especially Wellington. When we first got them, they would just kick off like you could not believe. And being a school bus driver, that sounds awfully easy, doesn't it? When you got these kids kicking off and not... Sometimes I would be like 2 seconds down the road and the head teacher would be phoning up saying, we cannot cope with your children. We do not have security guards to keep them. If you don't come and get them now, I cannot take responsibility for them. And they go to school on their own and they enjoy it. So thank you for your investment. There is fruit already. We haven't got 20 years online, people being doctors and lawyers and whatever, but even now we can see the fruit of what you're investing in. We've had two newborns, one of which... the mother was a crack addict and, really complicated situations. But they went immediately for adoption. But we had to look after them for 2 or 3 months, which was really hard because they don't go to sleep at night. And when you've got a house with all different ages, The mums that are living in the houses were really hard pushed. Laura did a few nights. But they got all the milk and nappies and love they needed until their forever families took over the job. And that was a real privilege. That was a real joy as well. There's one girl who we received, the last girl. We've had 24 now kids come through. One girl, she arrived. She was part of a gang. She wanted to leave the gang. So 10 of the gang members kicked the living daylights out of her and put her in hospital. So she decides to report the gang to the police as an effort to get out of the gang. I think she's got a boyfriend who's not in the gang, and she wants to kind of get married to this guy or whatever. Whatever the motivation is, she wants to leave the gang, which we want to encourage. So now she didn't just report the beating, she reported all the activities of the gang. Now the gang leader is in prison, and it's quite a serious gang. So it's like, okay, on this day, this person killed this person. And on this day, many killings that she reported, which immediately put her life in danger. So she goes to social services because she's 16, and they have not got a clue what to do. Because usually they would gather up the family really quickly, enter into the witness protection system, and take them to another city. Now, members of the gang include her mother and two of her sisters that were involved in the beating and now want to kill her. So that makes it really complicated, because you can't enter into the witness protection system as a minor. They haven't got that facility. So we had her for a couple of weeks. We had to kind of tighten up our security on site a little bit, and a few kind of issues we kind of covered. It's like my house, which is a little bit hidden, and I've got a 42-kilo Rottweiler, was the safe house. So anyone was like, if you need to run away, come to my house. She had 2 weeks with us of safety. She actually went to another shelter temporarily that couldn't cope with her, and they sent us back to us, and it was quite untidy. I mean, it sounds, oh, we saved this young girl. She was a member of a gang where people were killed. Even if she didn't kill people, which I'm not sure if she did or not, if you're running in no circles, anyone challenges you, then the first thing you throw out is, I'm going to kill you. And some people believed her, and it was quite intense for a while. But managed to find in another city a shelter that specifically worked with minors needing protection, so she got transferred there because we were just too close to the community where she was from. But yes, she had a safe transition from a dangerous situation to a more permanent situation, and again, that's something you guys have invested in, and the kids are really appreciative, and so are we. Finally, Pedro, before he came to us, went to they call it a creche, but it's like a day centre. And the staff there thought he was an elective mute. Those were the days. This boy would sing all the way to school and all the way home every day by the end of his time with us. And he is not blessed with a singing voice. That is not a joyful noise. And sometimes we wish back for the glory days when he was very, very quiet. Bless him. No. So that's the restoration that you are investing in with your prayers and with your finances. And we're very, very grateful. And things like that will definitely have an impact on his long-term future. You know, if you can't talk, you can't succeed in many areas. And now he talks all the time. So I think, thank you, I'm not sure. But he has been blessed. He has received a level of restoration from God through what you've invested, and his life will be different now. He's now reintegrated back into his family, which have their ups and downs, but he's a lot safer than he was, and he's going in a better direction than he was. So thank you all very much. And as has already been said, you really are a part of what we do. we appreciate, you know, you financially support us, you pray for us, you send us encouragements all the time, and we really appreciate your partnering with us in that. If anyone wants to get more involved through giving, through praying, even through volunteering, come and speak to us. We're at the table. Come tomorrow. We're at Jenny and Richard's all day long. You can come and wreck their house. Be awesome. I don't actually, Jenny, I've been meaning to ask this. Your house is always tidy. No, your house is always tidy. Even though Richard lives there, it is always tidy. But I've never seen you, like your carpet. No, that your carpet is always clean, and I've never even heard the Hoover. How do you do that? Yeah, maybe I'm just bags under my eyes. I'm not. Was it? Okay. I'm amazed at how organized and tidy your house is anyway. There must be like little cleaning pixies that come out at night. It'll be clean tomorrow at the beginning of the day. But yeah, so 11 o'clock till 9 o'clock. If you're going to be there for a mealtime, bring something to share. I've got more videos to play about some of the stuff we do, and we'll chat and laugh and make a mess of Jenny and Richard's house. It's going to be awesome. And you're all welcome, all of you. That would be great. Awesome. Right. I've been invited to preach as well, so I thought I'd start. Is there another picture of me? Where's it? Over there? Here we go. Little video. Oh, we might need the lights off again.
Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Ah, change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah, you see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No, not a stick. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going back.
Good. Go on, get out of here.
Awesome. I think every preach should start with a little bit of Lion King, because it's just epic, isn't it? They're going to remake it. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Yeah, she's got an all right voice. Well, we'll see. We'll see. So, I thought we would learn from a little bit of history today, because history is good, according to the Lion King. Does anyone know what was special about last Tuesday? One hand. Let me see how many people know what last Tuesday was. How many people? One, two, three, four, five. We got a few. That's good. Sorry? Halloween, kind of. No, sorry. Halloween was good as well. Lots of pumpkins and children eating lots of sweets. No, we're not allowed to say Halloween's good. Halloween's bad. Anyway, swiftly moving on. So last Tuesday was 500 years since the Reformation, which I think I've had Dave as my pastor, starting off with my youth leader and then my pastor for the last 30 years. Have you ever preached on the Reformation? That's a no, isn't it? I'm just about to play another video. But it's only a quick one. Which light switch is it? All of them. There we go. I think it's another video now. Here we go. If you're going to have a history lesson, you want to start it off with some kind of cool graphic to engage with the young folk. I used to be a young folk. I'm going to be 40 in less than 2 months. Awesome. So the Reformation. What is the Reformation? Because nobody really talks about it in our kind of church. Basically, 500 years ago, the church was in a bit of a mess. No, it was in a serious mess, a really, really big mess, like you cannot imagine. Morally, they were off the charts. I read about a priest who it was written about him that he only had relationships with adult women, and he was considered to be a saint, because other than that was considered the norm. Just a bit not what we expect now, is it? They also weren't even allowed to be married on paper. So anyway, it was insane. Politically, the church leaders were actually in charge of areas, and it wasn't, oh, Dave's pretty good at preaching and he's got a good relationship with God and he's good at leading people, so let's put him in charge of a group of people to really get to know God. That wasn't the criteria. It was like, oh, I'm going to put my cousin over there and my niece over there, and they're going to control this land. It was all political. It was all about control. It was not how you imagine church now. And theologically, so their understanding of the Bible, there was actually, by the Pope, who was in charge of the whole church at the time, except for the Orthodox, but that's a different story. There was published a list, and actually, it was discouraged, all of these books on the list, that the general population read it, including the Bible. They didn't have the Bible in your language. They had it in very old, ridiculous languages that even pastors of churches didn't know sometimes what they were saying. They'd learn lengths of scriptures and they said them. Some of them didn't even know what they were saying. It was insane. It was not what we understand of church now. And there was corruption to an extent that you could not. Corruption mixed with bad understanding of the Bible. Do you know what they did? Nowadays, I'm sure most of you, everyone, so Dave said everyone's been here before. I'm sure you all know that to step into a relationship and a walk with God, that involves us identifying that we've done stuff wrong, saying to God we're sorry, deciding to do something else instead of that wrong stuff, and then God forgiving us. Do you know 500 years ago how you got forgiveness? You could buy it. Awesome for the rich, not quite so cool for the poor. And you could buy it, and you didn't even have to be sorry. You could buy it, and you didn't even have to change what you were doing. If you were really rich, you could buy forgiveness for all the sins you hadn't committed yet. So you can continue with your wife and your lovers and your corruption and whatever naughtiness you were doing. But it's fine because you've already paid for it and you get your ticket to heaven. So the church has come a long way. Do we all go to that church still? No, which is awesome. And one of the hugest turning points was 500 years ago on Tuesday. There was a man called Luther who basically wrote 900 complaints about the state of the church, about the politics and about the theology and how things happened, and he nailed them to the church door. He was a monk and he had been trained as a lawyer, so he knew what he was doing. And he basically was a figurehead in this movement. Lots of people were questioning. People heckled. People began to heckle, and people didn't like that. You guys, where's your heckling? You've all quietened off. Sorry? Okay, that's good. So the Protestant Reformation, Protestant is like the word protest. There was all these people, they were protesting against how the church was. And that was great, because from that point has birthed all of the Protestant churches, and I think it really encouraged Reformation in the Catholic Church, which was what was being protested against at the time. So now church is so much closer to, I believe, what God wanted church to be. So it's a good thing to celebrate. It's a good thing to remember. And it's a good thing to learn from, according to Lion King. And I believe it all happened at that point, not because of some amazing move of the Holy Spirit, because of the printing press, because information was more widely available. But still, most people, intelligent people and rich people actually, not even intelligent people, they could afford the education to learn to read. But most people were illiterate. So what they did to promote this new way of thinking is they got together five slogans. They called them solas, but they're just slogans. Here we go. The big letters are probably in Latin. It's the little letters that are important. So to pull back the church that had gone a little bit astray, they've got these five slogans to pull it back to where God wants it. So we've got saved by grace alone. You can't pay for it with cash, sorry. Through faith alone. So you can't be a really good Christian and work really hard and volunteer on the PA desk, because if Dave did it, it would be a disaster. You can do that, and that's good. Don't let Dave do that job. But that doesn't get you salvation either. It's just by faith in Jesus Christ. That is, they're bringing back these little slogans that people who can't read can remember five things. It is in Jesus Christ that we have faith, and that transforms our life and transforms our eternity. According to Scripture alone. Now, he had this funny thing, which the Pope, who was the leader of the church, he can do a papal decree, and that was considered as important and authoritative as the Bible, which is just a dangerous situation to be in, because some of the popes, there was a season, probably of 300 years before this Reformation, where the popes were awful people. And even, I'm in the middle of reading a book by a Catholic theologian about the Reformation, and even the Catholics say this season of Catholic history was bad. There was one pope who was having an affair with a queen. He was a bishop, and he lived in Germany. So she managed to organize things, because she was very powerful, to get him voted to be the pope, because then he would get to come and live in Rome, which is closer for them, so that their affair would be more fruitful. Now, that's not good motivation, or it's not good to, through that situation, to put a man up on a pedestal who he can say stuff that is as important as the Bible. It was very untidy. It was very, very untidy. So that was what was being protested against. And these five things were like the slogans they threw out to the general population, so people could learn and people could begin to realign how they thought Christianity should play itself out could be. So it's nice and easy for them to remember those things. Right. Look how many pages I've got. How much time have I got? Does that clock work? Oh, that's a shame. Nobody's got like a roast in the dinner or in the oven or anything, have they? So anyway, Christians weren't always. It's not like we're great now, and they were really bad before. Christians weren't always messed up like this. And you kind of find that over a very short amount of time, it's easy to drift off a little bit and come off course. And they'd had like 1,500 years, and they might have been only like 1 degree off, but it got worse and worse and worse till they were messed up. And I think they started off with the best intentions. One thing that we obviously, most of us probably don't do, is the position we put. the position that Mary was put into, that she was almost deified, she was glorified, which this glory to God alone, that was kind of questioning Mary and the saints and how they were promoted to almost God figures. And I believe that started in a good place. Let's do a quick Bible study. I haven't read any Bible yet. All I've done is watch The Lion King. And seeing I've just put up there that in Scripture alone, I should probably pull it back a bit. There you go. If anyone wants to follow with me, they can do. So in Luke, it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Which is understandable, because it was an angel. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Right, so let's pull out some quick truths. And maybe see where this glorification of Mary started. Says there that she had found favor. Who wants to find favor with God? Awesome. I've written here the definition of favor. To feel or show approval or preference for. Now, if I'm chilling out on a Friday night, wouldn't it be nice if I get a text from God and say, "Oh, what are you doing? Do you want to go down? We're in England. He's allowed to go to the pub. It's where I'm from. You're not allowed to go. Do you know what I mean? Do you want to go and hang out?" Imagine if you were God's preferred hangout partner. That would be cool, wouldn't it? So that's good. There must be something about Mary that put her in that position. So, it says in that short passage, the word virgin, 3 times. Now, if I was just sitting with you at the pub, and in the space of half a dozen sentences, I say the word virgin 3 times. You'd be like, "What are you going on about?" Yeah, probably. Probably. Or how to get out of them. Anyway, so I really believe that a key to being favored by God is living in the way that he's called us to live. You know, the word virgin is talking about purity, and it is talking about living in God's way. So if you want to step into God's favor, live the way God's calling you to live. That's not complicated. I love this last sentence. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. 2 words in that, Lord and servant. She knows her position in relationship to God. She's referring to him as Lord. Now this is, I really believe, the word Lord is the most underweighted, under-understood word in the Bible. Back when the Bible was written, it held a super amount of weight because they were in a position where you had lords over pieces of land. They had authority. They had ways of doing things. It was. I'm not going to get onto that because I could talk to like for 20 sermons about what that meant. But she definitely knew, I'm here to serve you, and you are the Lord. You are senior. You are above me. So those things I could pull out of that short text. If I want to step into God's presence, into God's favor, then okay, I can live the way he's calling. I can identify that he's more important than me, and I can identify that my role is to serve him. A little side note, for the rest of her life, she was probably ridiculed and excommunicated and pushed out for having an illegitimate child. Her son, who she loved very much, was referred to as a word that I'm not going to say, probably fairly regularly, and it begins with B, because he was an illegitimate child. And then after 33 years, he was crucified. So maybe don't be quite so keen to put your hand up and say you want to find favor with God, because sometimes it's maybe not quite as tidy as we hope it will be. It's not just about having the latest iPhone. Awesome. But it's still good. It's still the best thing. I don't want to put you off. But it's not as tidy as maybe we'd hope it was. So I think that was the church's starting point. Mary is chosen for the most incredible job ever. And they started by being interested in her life and maybe pushed it a bit further. So I think it was only a little bit off, and then things kind of grow, don't they? They say, you know, if you've got a ship and you're just 1 degree off, after a certain amount of time, you're in the wrong place, aren't you? I mean, if you're driving a car and you're 1 degree off, it's only a couple of roads and you've wrapped your car around a lamppost. You need to watch the course and give anything time, and you can really sway off. And saints as well. They glorified saints. I've got some awesome pictures. That is a piece of facial skin of a saint. Check it out. You can go and touch its glass and gold container because it's got some kind of aura to it. Oh, it gives me goosebumps. No, it's disgusting. There's some, I think, arm bones that they've made little caskets for. Saints were pushed up and glorified to an extent which we don't believe is right. Oh, that's not pretty, is it? But again, I think that started in a good place. I've read 2 or 3 books about or by Mother Teresa. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She is a saint. And I've decided to learn from her, but to glorify her is a step beyond what we should do. I've read The Rule of St. Benedict, which if you live in Christian community for any amount of time, it's very, very funny, because it tells you about punishments for people who arrive late. It's really, really good. It's really good. Yeah, no, read it. It's really, really funny. Because you're like, oh, that would work. But anyway. But I'm going to read their memoirs, but I'm not going to get their bones, make a glass and gold casket, and put it up somewhere and touch and pray to it. It's just, you go a little bit off and give it time, and you're a long way off. Am I a long way off? I don't know. What time do we finish? Now? Okay, I'm finishing. I'm going to run this last bit really, really fast. Really going to run. Catholic theologian talks about 2 reformations. Big R, awesome, somebody just caught a fish. Big R, Reformation 500 years ago. Little R, which is personal reformation, ongoing reformation all the time, which started right at the beginning. In Corinthians, a bunch of Christians who met in Chloe's house started arguing. Quarrelling, I think is the word. Oh, no. Too far. Back one. Oh, back 2. There we go. They were quarreling. That's a Bible verse if you're interested. And what were they quarreling about? I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. I follow Christ. And this happened 20 years after Jesus died. And Paul had to step in and protest against their little bickering and saying, we all follow Christ. So this little R Reformation, which my Catholic theologian writer is talking about, started at least 20 years after Christ died. Maybe even some of the conversations Christ had with the disciples when they were talking about who's the greatest. Maybe Reformation started still when Jesus was alive. You could probably see a lot of Reformation in the Old Testament as well. But this concept of Reformation, I believe I constantly need. Because I don't want to go so far off that, you know, when I'm Dave's age, bless Dave, he's not going to last forever, but maybe I could keep one of his arms. I don't want to go there. So maybe I need to continually reform my direction so I'm constantly going in the right direction. I mean, there's that verse about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You can go and touch the foot of a saint that's been desiccated and is just a bit of skin wrapped around some bones, and it's not pleasant. But it only started with, I think, a little bit off, and then it's gone a little bit too far. Anyway, let's leave Dave's arms out of this. So it's good to always go back and look at the direction you're going. I came home for this trip. I'm really flying now. And me and Laura would regularly argue about what we're going to do. So what we had to do, it wasn't big arguments, just little ones. We had to go back. Before we'd started booking anything in the diary, planning dates, where we're going to be, when, whatever, we wrote a list of goals. Do you know what we did with this list of goals? Whenever Laura said, oh, I really want to go on a retreat and seek God's face and be refreshed and all that. And I'm like, but I want to go on holiday. It wasn't really exactly like that. We'd go back. Here's our list of goals, more or less, because I had to do it from memory, because I think the piece of paper with goals is still in Brazil. To be refreshed by God is the first one. To connect with our missions partners. Hello. Quality time with family and friends. Hello again. Inspire the church to missions. There's a leaflet about volunteering over there. Raise finances, ours, and our charities. Hello. And recruit volunteers. Anyway, so when we're deciding what we do and how we do it, we several times reverted back to our list because we actually had two good things to do. And we were like, both of these would be good. We haven't got enough time. Which actually fulfills our goals better? So I got my list and we went back to it. And that organized what we did, where we did it, who we saw, who was like, oh, we can't do everything. So, but it was linked in with that list of our goals. I'm going to talk a little bit to round up about the last slogan, which is to glory to God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Says in the Bible, I'm the Lord, that is my name. Again, the word Lord, which is so weighty. I will yield my glory to no other, or my praise to idols. Is Corinthians from the Message. It says, so eat your meals heartily, not worrying about what others say to you. You're eating to God's glory after all. Not to please them, the people who might be having a go at you because you're eating the wrong thing. Anyway, this is what I want to get at. As a matter of fact, do everything in that way, heartily and freely to God's glory. So if we're going to not go off the straight and narrow and get a little bit lost, which I always do, you know, looking at this slogan, this good rule for life, just give glory to God. I love the way it says this, heartily and freely. Do whatever you do, heartily and freely to God's glory. And I want to just list off some different things we do. I want to start to put some things in your mind and maybe over the week, think about this, pray about this. Whether we are doing or what we do or the decisions we make, are they heartily and freely to God's glory? What do we do with our time? If I get an evening off, I don't know, when are we going to get an evening off? Have we got one booked in? I don't know. I want to sit down in front of the TV and watch a good film. And there's nothing wrong with that. But how much do we spend our time or make our decisions or everything just because we want to be entertained? That's a huge, it's almost a god. I mean, how many channels do we have? When I was young, we had like 4 maybe. I remember Channel 5 being invented. You know, entertainment is a demigod in our lives. How big are our televisions? You know, at what point do we prioritize our own entertainment above pleasing God? Do we want to be pleased or do we want to please God? Think about that over the week. With our money, how many people buy the best clothes that they can afford because they want people to think a certain way of them? How many other people buy the cheapest clothes they can afford and they try not to think about who made them and whether they get paid enough and whether a small child gets their fingers ripped off by a sewing machine because there's not a safe working environment so that these shops can sell clothes that are ridiculously cheap? And I know it's good to be frugal and I know it's good to live within our means, but a child missing a finger does not glorify God alone. And we need to wrestle with some of these issues, but we can go back to our set of priorities or our goals and say, I want to glorify God alone. How do I do that in my clothes even? Really, I'm not going to say that. Yeah. What do we do with our energy? What do we dream about? What do we dream about? Some of you singles, do you dream a lot about romance? Some of us married people, do we dream a lot about romance? I don't know. It's not bad to dream about romance, as long as if you're married, you dream about romance with the person you're married to. Do we dream about wealth? Do we dream about success? Those things are not bad. Wealthy people help me to do what I want to do. I'm not going to preach against that. But do we dream, do we deify some of these things? Do we make them as gods? You know, I pray that... No, I'm not going to pray that. What am I going to pray? I'll just say the end, but I'm not going to pray. You see so many rock stars achieving their dreams and then they kill themselves because what they dreamt of was just the wrong thing. And it's hollow and empty and they're like, what have I done? Dream God's dreams. And if you achieve them, you will not kill yourself. You might get killed for it, but you will be in God's plan and you will be fulfilled. And it will be awesome. It won't be easy or fun sometimes. So I want to challenge you this week. Think about your priorities. Think about how you make your decisions. Think about how you make your decisions. For me, I've got kids. Do I think, oh, what can I do? What's the best thing I can get for my kids? I love my kids. I want to bless my kids. I want, you know, I want them to have the best Play-Doh. Do you want your kids to have the best PlayStation? Whatever. How much of our raising our children do we think, how can I raise my children to glorify God? That might not be sending them to the best school in everyone else's opinion. It might be. But if we use it as a criteria and we can go back to those decisions, then we'll make sure we don't slightly go off track and collect Dave's bones, because that's just disgusting. So yeah, I'd really encourage you over the week, think about how you make your decisions. Think about the direction you're going in, how you spend your energy, what you dream about, and put everything up against that benchmark of, am I exclusively glorifying God? Thank you very much.
Now, Tony, I